Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. How many had a good week? Good deal. Well, if you would, go to Second Corinthians. Or no, let's go to Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to go a number of places this morning. We're going to end up over in John chapter 16. My wife and I have conversations all the time. Usually what happens is I'll see something in the Word and I'll go tell her, and she looks at me like a dog at a new bone. Like, what does that mean? And it's not because of her, it's because so many times I try to de-religiousize things so much, and she says, you know, what happens is I go back in my Rolodex of things I've learned, and I'm trying to find something that it fits with. And, you know, there's things that the Spirit of God wants to get over to us that maybe are new for folks. Having a new thought. How many know it's good to have a new thought every once in a while? You know, occasionally you get a new thought. It's good to have a new thought. And how many times, you know, there's things you read in the New Testament that you've read them so many times, you just read right by them. And, you know, we do, to a certain extent, we do kind of get trained by, if I could call it this, the religious system in the world. Even what we call Christianity. You know, it was interesting. I had pulled out some songs that I haven't really listened to for probably 6-7 years. And I started listening to them, you know, and it's a great CD, and I love the artist, and I love the music. And I remember the first time I heard the CD, like, I said, there's not one song on there I don't like. Well, fast forward 6 or 7 years, and there was one particular song that I was working on that I wanted to do, and it hit me. Shoot, I can't sing this song because it's coming from the soul, the mind. It's not coming from your. It's not coming from your spirit. And in other words, the focus of the song was Old Covenant and Out of Your Mind. Maybe I'll try to rewrite the words or something, but because the music is too good, to waste. But anyway, you know, you get used to certain mindsets, and you don't realize that the Spirit of God is trying to get us to a place where we see things like Father does. You know, I mentioned this previously, that, you know, one of the main mindsets that we have in Christianity is that, you know, people are trying to get to God. And we say things like, you know, the world will say, well, there's many ways to God. And so we because the world system really has formulated the argument for the church, and the church hasn't had enough revelation knowledge since to go someplace different in times past, that we just kind of take up the argument that they make up. And how many know the argument that they come up with is really from darkness, and that's why they have it, because darkness wants to pull us off the real picture and get us on an argument that doesn't matter. You know, if I can formulate the debate, you'll never go where you want to go. Right? So all I have to do is come up with certain topics and certain subjects, and I'll keep you on a rabbit trail all day long. because you'll be chasing me. And that's really what's happened when it comes to understanding what the gospel is, not from the church's perspective or natural man's perspective or what the church has said is the gospel. It's what Father says is the gospel. And I'm not, you know, let me just ease your mind. I'm not preaching another gospel. I'm going to show you verses out of your own Bible that have been there. They didn't change, and nor have they changed in the last 10 minutes since I've talked. Okay, they're still in there, and they've always been in there. But I want you to notice, how many think Paul had a pretty good insight into what the gospel was all about? You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 9, you know, he said, I serve the Lord in my spirit in this gospel. And kind of wrecked it for me for that song. I said, shoot, can't sing that song now. Because it was all about serving the Lord with your heart and your mind and your soul. And Paul says, I serve this God with my spirit. Now, it's not that your mind has to be trained to think according to the Word, right? Because your mind's not trained to think the way God thinks. That's why we have this. So we don't just get off of this and leave this and say, well, I'm going to be, quote, live out of my spirit. And then you come with all kinds of fruitcake stuff and say, well, the Spirit said, you can't do that because if it violates this, then it's not of the same Spirit. You're on the wrong track. Right? So you gotta have this so you know how to think accurately and you know how to discern what is from the Spirit of God and what's from the spirit of stupid. Right? I mean, you know, doing something stupid and saying, well, it was God's plan for me to do that. Because after all, He knows all things. I mean, no, that's the spirit of stupid. And you're just looking for a reason and excuse to validate your lack of focus. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need a letter of commendation to you or from you? Verse 2 says, you are our letters written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifest that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but tablets of the human heart. Such confidence we have through Christ towards God. And he says, not that we're adequate of ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. But notice what he says here. Our adequacy is from God. See, so much of what we've adopted as a mindset that we think is holy is the first part of what he said. But we don't talk about the last part of what he said. We talk about all the inadequacies. Well, we don't consider anything coming from ourselves. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. But Paul says he didn't just stay with it. It doesn't come from me. He says our adequacy is from God. How many know God made you adequate? And I don't mean the world's definition of just enough. You know, one translation, it says, well, just keep reading verse 6. It says, he made you adequate or as servants of a new covenant. Everybody say new. Not of letter or print, but of the Spirit. Because the Spirit gives life. So we're an adequate or an able minister of the new covenant of the Spirit. The end result of that covenant is it brings life. Right? It brings life. So our job as able ministers of a new covenant is to bring life in any situation that we're in. Right? Now, the Word says just hold your place here and go over to 1 John just as a reminder. I think I have an abridged version of 1 John back here in the back of my Bible. No, that's fine. I got what I need right here. 1 John, I have 1 John chapter 1 through 3. Anyway, 1 John chapter 1, it says, John says in verse 2, The life was manifested, and we've seen and testify and proclaim to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. Verse 3, what we've seen, what we've heard, we're proclaiming to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And oh, by the way, that fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. You notice it doesn't say our fellowship is with God. Because, you know, the world says there's many ways to God. But you got to understand something. The word G-O-D to them means any kind of entity that's out there. And that's a true statement. But the gospel's not about getting to God. I'm going to finish reading this and I'll show you what I mean. He talked about the life that was manifested in verse 5. He says, this is the message that we've heard from him and that we announce to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And he says, he talks about having fellowship with the light. Well, in John chapter 8, I believe it says that the light is the life of men. John chapter 1, actually. Okay? So, when we talk about the life of God, we're talking about the light of God. The Word says in Psalms 18 that He illuminates our darkness. Okay? So, go over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Because I want you to see this in your own Bible. Or John chapter 14, actually, go there. Because these verses that the church has been trained to use, and I want to show you something, and I want you to see that this has always been in your Bible. It's not something that's just new right now. The context of verse chapter 14, Jesus is saying, he starts off at the beginning of the chapter, hey, don't be distressed. You believed in me, so believe in God, but you could say believe in Father, because Jesus always, he referred to God as Father. He didn't refer to just God all the time. Every time he talked about it, it was his Father, my Father. I always must be about my Father's business. Okay? You can't lose sight of that, otherwise we get trained religiously and we miss stuff. And we let the world formulate the debate, and the world says, hey, there's many ways to God. And the Christian says, well, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. The challenge is that in the context of what Jesus was saying, he was not talking about getting to God. He was talking about bringing the demonstration of Father. He goes on to say here in chapter 14, he says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one, quote, comes to the Father but through me. But understand the context. The context is not them trying to get to Father. The context is them trying to understand that they've been seeing Father the whole time. Jesus had sold distribution rights to the person of the Father. There is not a religion on the planet that can bring the Father. They're all trying to get to God. Do you understand that there's a difference? There's a reason why Jesus displayed God, the creator of the universe, to human beings that to that point, from the religious system, they were told he was God. But from Jesus' perspective, he was trying to tell the people, he's Father. You remember what he said after he was raised from the dead? He said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. And then so in chapter 14 here, they're saying like, hey, we want to see the Father. See, the issue wasn't getting to God. The issue was they wanted to see a demonstration of who Father was. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, look, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. What's the very next verse? In verse 6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes face to face with the Father. Nobody realizes the Father except through me. who has sole distribution rights. John chapter 1 said that. Nobody's seen the Father at any time, but we beheld Him as an only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, and we beheld His glory. See, Jesus has sole distribution rights and sole presentation rights of who the Father really is. And so that's really what we're dealing with here, is presentation, not access. Do you understand that if we as the church understood that the argument was presentation and not access, and we knew how to present Him, the world has no argument? Because it's not about accessing God. Paul even said there's many gods in the world. So the world's got, well, there's many ways to go. Well, you know, whoever you think God is, whatever way you're on, if that's the way you access your God, that's fine. But that's not the presentation of Father. The issue is the presentation of Father. Are you following me? There's a big difference. Because to some people, God is the one who kills you. God is the one who's displeased with you. God is the one who's angry with you. God is the one who you have to, every day you get up, you have to do certain things, you have to be a certain way, you have to pony up the performance, you have to do a certain way, just in hopes that God that you have in your mind is the one who's going to be, he's going to halfway give you the time of day. But Jesus came to present Father to humanity, not to get them to God. Do you understand that there's a difference? Am I making myself clear here? It matters, folks, because when you understand what the issue of the gospel is, the issue of the gospel is, it is our responsibility, because He put His nature in us, it's our responsibility to bring a presentation of Him to the world. So, Jesus said, no one comes face to face with the Father, or literally no one realizes the Father except through me. He says, since you've been knowing me, you've been knowing the Father also. And from now on, you're going to know Him and you've seen Him. And then Philip says, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. See, they're wanting a presentation of Father. Isn't it interesting the subtlety that darkness uses to formulate the debate? And we get stuck on all these red herrings, chasing around the world, trying to get them to think right, when it's not even the right argument. I mean, I can read insurance policies and there's God in there. But that God causes disasters and destruction. So I'm not really too interested in getting to that God. But see, that we're not trying to get to God, and we're not trying to get people to get to God. We're trying to bring the presentation of who Father is as Father to the world. I told you this one time before. I was doing a study on the Hebrew names of God. And I happened to get on a little sidetrack, and I started looking at some of the names of some other deity in some other religion. And every single one of them was so packed of arrogance, it was obvious to me who the spirit was behind that. In fact, there was all these names, and it was all steeped in arrogance, from the deity's perspective. And then at the end of it, there was, and I have a special name that I'm not even going to tell you what it is. It's my little secret. Man, get out of my face. Aren't you glad that the Father says all things that belong to Him belong to you? So Jesus is saying, look, the issue is presentation. And nobody has presentation rights of who Father is except me. And then you bring that into the new covenant, and guess what? In John 17, or John 16, he says, all that the Father has is mine. And so the Holy Spirit's going to show it to you. So, go over to John 16. I gotta get a new Bible, man. I'm starting not to be able to see the print. John 16, he says in verse 1, "These things I've spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling." Everybody say amen for that. Unless you are, you know, unless that's part of your experience with Father, you like to fall down. "These things I've spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling." And then he talks about, you know, you remember in chapter 14 and 15, he's been talking about living connected, right? In chapter 14, he says, let me just lay it out for you just the way I was. If you've seen my life, I always do what the Father says. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And, you know, I'm in him and he's in me. And, you know, if you'll watch over and guard and perpetuate the words that I tell you, if you'll perpetuate those words, he said, me and my Father will come and will dwell with you and we'll have our abode with you permanently. And you'll experience my Father's love. And in fact, in 1 John, it's saying that every time you guard and watch over and perpetuate his word that he gives you, and you give it legs, or you make the word become flesh and walk it out, he's saying you're literally keeping yourself in the flow of Father's love. Remember we talked about that last week? Keeping yourself in the flow of Father's love. See, it's one thing for Jesus saying that he keeps himself in his Father's word and he keeps himself in his Father's love, and they're the same. And he says, now you keep yourself in my love. Keep yourself in that flow. When I say things to you or I give you an impressions, you give it legs for me. And when you do that, you're keeping yourself in the flow of my love. Because my love always has a landing point. Right? It's one thing to just have, and this is the challenge that we've had in the church, because we've been trained by a religious system that it's a personal, private thing, and really it shouldn't go any past you. Well, that's convenient. If it's always a personal, private thing, and it's never supposed to go any place besides you, inside of you, well, then it's never going to affect anybody else. I wonder who came up with those rules. But it is supposed to affect everybody else. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine this? Imagine if Jesus came, okay, came into the earth as a baby, grew up as a boy, became a man, Holy Spirit came upon him, and all he did was walk around and hang out with people, and he never let anything the Father told him come out. All that Father shared with him, everything in situations that he was in, everything that Father impressed upon him by the Spirit of God on him, he never let any of that go any farther than his own mind. What kind of an impact would he have had on the disciples? And then he goes to the cross and he pays the price. He's resurrected. And for the 40 days after his resurrection, when he gets together with the disciples, he never shares anything about how the kingdom functions. He just kind of hangs out with them for 40 days. And then he says, okay, boys, I'm leaving, so go do likewise. Do you think that we would have had any... Would there have been a book of Acts? Probably not. There would be no book of Acts, because the book of Acts is a demonstration of what happens when a new creation gets something from the Spirit of God, brings something that's from the kingdom into the natural arena, and it is allowed to have its landing point. His love always has a target that it's supposed to hit. And all Jesus is saying is, look, boys and girls, because you know there was girls in that room too, right? There wasn't just a bunch of dudes. And he says, just do what I do. What you've observed me do in the last 3.5 years, do what I do. Keep yourself in my word. I kept myself in my Father's word. And I kept myself in His love, so you keep yourself in my love by keeping yourself in my word. And give my word perpetuity. Is that a word? I'll put it in my dictionary. All the Dan Olin words all over the years. Give it perpetualness or whatever. And give it flesh and let it land. And that's the plan. Okay, so in John 16, in 14 and 15, he's talked about all these things. Living in the vine, you know, the series that we're in, living in the vine. He's talking about living connected. You know, I asked my wife, I said, is the concept of living connected, is that over people's head or are they getting it? Do you understand that? Because I grew up in church and not one time did they ever tell me to live connected. I didn't know what that meant. But Jesus lived a connected life. He never violated Old Testament scriptures because, you know, the Old Testament scriptures came from Father. And he was living under law in that season. So he wasn't going to violate anything of his Father's law. Okay? But he still lived connected. And here he says, in verse 2 of chapter 16, he says, let me show you what an example of somebody who's not connected looks like. Because he just got done talking about what connected looks like. 14, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. Chapter 15, I'm in the vine. You know, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You can't produce any fruit outside of me, so stay in me. You know, if you ask anything according to my word, if you ask anything according to my will, you can say it like this. If you ask anything according to my will, influencing, having come from me, if you require anything that, if I give you something and you require that, my Father will do it. But somebody who's not living connected looks like this. Verse 2, they'll make you outcasts from the synagogue. The religious system doesn't want you to be connected. An hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he's offering service to God. See, here we are back on the God wagon again. They don't know Father, they just know God. Because he says in verse 3, these things they'll do because they have not known what? Father. Our job is to bring a demonstration of Father, not get people to God. And so he goes on to say, he said, verse 4, these things I've spoken to you so that when the hour comes, you'll remember that I told you these things, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. He says, but I'm going to go away. I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you is asking me where you're going. Because I've said these things to you, sorrow fills your heart. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. Everybody say my advantage. It's to my advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now, we read these verses, and this is what we see Jesus is saying. We say, look, I'm going away. When I go away, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to convict the world with your mouth that they're a bunch of sinners. Am I telling the truth? No, I'm saying, isn't that how people have read it? Yes. That's how people have read it. He's going to use your mouth to convict the world that they're sinners and that they need to get righteous or they're going to get judged. Isn't that pretty much sum it up? But that's not what he says at all. He says, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin. That word sin is in the singular, not sins. It's not our job to point out what the world's doing wrong. I'm going to qualify that in a minute, okay? So don't think I'm saying we're supposed to just let whatever will be. But this is the way people have read it, is that our job is to point out what the world is doing wrong. You could say it like this: our job is to curse the darkness. That's what religion says. But that's not what Jesus is saying here at all. He's saying that he's, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convict the world concerning the nature of sin and the nature of righteousness and judgment. Now, he qualifies what that is. And isn't it interesting that he says concerning sin because they do not believe in me? Now, what did he just get done talking about in chapter 14 and chapter 15? He got done talking about living in the vine, living in him. Right? So why would he forget that context and go back to this context that religion has said that it's all about just believing in some guy at the top of the food chain? You know, if you talk to the world, they're going to say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that, and I don't believe in this, that, and the other, I don't believe in this. And that's what their idea of believing in, and that's what the church, that's what really the religious system has trained the church to say, you need to believe in Jesus. How are they going to believe it? Jesus said they can't, they're not going to receive anything they can't see. Right? So why would we sit there and make a demand on them to believe in something they can't see when Jesus already said they can't receive it because they can't see it? Did he say that? He did say that. So, what is he saying here? Well, he says the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convict the world. The word convict there, I like this better. If you do a study on this word, you're going to find it used most of the time as the word to convict or to rebuke or whatever, reproach. But really, you could translate this in this context to convince the world. You'll find it used in that context too. He's going to come to convince the world concerning the nature of sin. How do you convince the world, the natural man, concerning the nature of sin? Well, here's a novel idea. You show them the new nature in demonstration. I wonder if the new Peter in the book of Acts would have appreciated staying as the old Peter before Jesus was resurrected. Do you remember that, Peter? That Peter was one of zero insight, and I don't really understand what you're saying, and, you know, He was walking as completely in his natural man. But the Peter in the Gospels is not the same Peter in the book of Acts. Do you see that? Hopefully you do. Nor is any of the other disciples. They're not the same. What happened? They became a new creation. It's a new model. The new model has new upgrades that the old model doesn't have. And so how is Jesus saying that the Holy Spirit is going to show the world or convince the world of the presence of the nature of sin? It's because of the presence of the nature of righteousness is going to be simultaneously in their midst. And then on top of that, the demonstration of the nature of righteousness is going to demonstrate to the nature of sin that the ruler of this world is already judged. Did you know that the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, they're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every time you function in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you bring things from heaven into the earth, whatever Father lays on you, you know, if it's gifts of healings, working of miracles, all those things that the church says don't exist anymore, every one of those things is a demonstration that the prince of this world has been judged. Now, I wonder who came up with the idea that God doesn't do that anymore, if that's what those are. You see how ridiculous this is? We got the dude that's defeated making up all the rules. And it's all to save his butt. Can I say that? Edit that out, would you? Bacon. Okay. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convince the world concerning the nature of sin. concerning the nature of righteousness and concerning judgment, because, and he clarifies all these. It's amazing when you get them all mixed up. He says, you know, because the sin is because they don't believe in me. Now, get this, okay? If we understand the issue is connectivity, and we understand that the issue is that all things are from him, all things are through him, right? You still with me? And all things are to him. Then what Jesus is saying is, the reason that the Holy Spirit is going to bring or convince the world concerning the nature of sin that's in them is because they do not believe, or they are not believing on an ongoing, constant basis. They're not believing into me. In other words, in other places, this exact same word is used exactly the same way. It's used, you could say it like this, to my benefit. They're not believing to benefit me. In other words, what he's just saying, because they have the old nature, I can't get anything through them. Can you see that? I can't get anything through them because, I don't know if you know this is true anymore, but PCs don't talk to Macs. Is that true? Pretty much. I'm sure there's some rogue, exclusions to that. But they just don't gel. Okay? You could take, how about this? How about an old version of a PC back in 1980 trying to communicate and run on Windows 7? Is it going to work? No. Jesus is saying the purpose of the Spirit of God is to convince the world or natural man in the world concerning the nature that's in them it's wrong. How is it going to do that? By showing them the nature that's in a man that's right. And when the nature that's in a man is right, there's a flow and a connectivity that flows through that man of me and Father. And because of that flow, we're going to ongoing, constantly be showing the natural man in the world that the prince of this world has been judged. It's done. He doesn't have the right to inflict people. Jesus went about doing good and healing most. How many? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil? Because he felt like it. Is that what it says? No, because Father was with him. So if Father's with him, that means Father endorses what he's doing. And it's Father's will that all be healed because he was getting his flow from Father. And every time he gave somebody a new hand, every time he raised somebody up, every time all those things happened, he demonstrated that the prince of this world is judged. He's got no place to dominate and terrorize. And that's what the Spirit of God's job is. You say, how's he going to do that? Well, Ephesians chapter 5. Go over there and we'll quit right here. Ephesians chapter 5. Remember I said that, for some reason, we kind of, somewhere along the way, got this idea. I'm speaking in generalities here, okay? Not anybody in this room, but you know somebody like this. That our job was to curse the darkness and point everything they're doing wrong. Right? But Jesus said that process is going to take place because the Holy Spirit is coming and he's going to reveal things. Right? We haven't got to those verses yet. We'll get to them next week. But it's what he reveals that causes the previous verses to happen. in John 16. It's not something you say, you come up with. But there again, that's the whole difference between, you know, reading this from the standpoint of living a connected life and understanding that that's how the track's laid versus this is just something I got to believe in. Well, I got my book and you got, this guy's got his book and that person over there's got their book and, you know, what makes you think your book is better than my book? My book's better than your book. So you get into this stupid debate about, well, my book's more holy than your book. God wrote this book. Yeah, well, God wrote my book too. So you're just on this, why don't you bring a demonstration of Father and then let him make his own mind up? Because he can't do that. Because the issue is flow. And Jesus is saying in John 16, look, when the Holy Spirit comes, the reason the world is going to be convicted that they have a nature of sin in them that's wrong, and they're going to be convicted of the nature of righteousness, and they're going to be convinced and shown that the prince of this world is judged, is because all of that happens because the Holy Spirit reveals something. Without Holy Spirit revelation, you could do that in your own efforts, but it isn't going to produce much. Thus, we have so much of what we've seen go on in the church as people try to do it out of their own head, and they forgot to read down a little farther and say that you would see that it was Holy Spirit's actions of revealing things from Father, from the kingdom, into the earth, that was to bring about the process of convincing. In other words, what are we saying here? Well, the light is what reveals the darkness, right? The light reveals the darkness. We have to bring the light. And I'm not talking about something that comes out of your own head. Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 13. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart. Okay, that's not even the right, that's like chapter 3. See, I can't even see my chapter divisions anymore. This is, okay, here it is. Chapter 5, verse 13 says this, but all things, let's back up a little bit. Verse 1 says this, be imitators of God as dear children. So we know he's not just talking about God, he's talking about Father. Because fathers have children, right? So he's saying, be imitators of God the Father as beloved children. Okay, so between verse 1 and verse 19, or verse, verse 18, it says, understand what the will of the Lord is, be being filled with the Spirit. So between be an imitator of God the Father and be being filled with the Spirit, we have verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words out of their own heads. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. How many of you know, God's Father's not mad at people until they start trying to talk stupid and influence you. What you're going to find these verses are saying is, they're both in the present tense. So don't be deceived with empty words, because the wrath of God is coming on an ongoing, constant basis upon the sons of disobedience. Why? Because they're the ones that are speaking empty words. So the anger is directed towards the ones that are speaking empty words as they're speaking empty words, not just as a general statement. Do you understand that? Because you understand that Father is not mad at anybody, because he's not holding their trespasses against them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But when they begin to, and the interesting thing here is the word sons there is not the word children. It's the ones that are, it's weos, it's mature ones. In other words, these mature ones of disobedience, they've made it a hobby. They've honed it. It's not just the actions of, I'm just not familiar with what you're talking about. This is, they've crossed the line from, they're just doing it because that's just the nature they have, to they're taking the ball and running with it, and they're honing their craft. And they're doing it on purpose. He says to them, the wrath of God is directed because it's not something that they're just doing out of ignorance. Okay? But he says here, he says, you were formerly darkness, but now in verse 8, you are light. What's that? What's the next three words there? You are light in the Lord. Right? You ever notice that before? In the Lord? I wonder what that means. He says, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we know this isn't just about who you are as a offspring of Him, because it involves walking. So that means you have to be walking something out, right? So if you're walking something out, you have to be in something to be walking something out, correct? In other words, Jesus is saying, like He said, I always do what my Father says. I always do those things that are pleasing to my Father. That's being in the Lord. Because you're doing, whatever's coming from Him, you're doing that. That's, you're in the Lord. Okay? Because it involves you walking something out, not just being. The fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, here it is. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So when he talks about being in the Lord, he's talking about just what Jesus was saying about keeping my word. Guarding and watch, giving the things that I say to you or that I impress upon you, acting those things out. Every time you do that, you're keeping yourself in the love of God. In fact, you're keeping yourself in the flow of what's coming from Father's heart. You're in the Lord. It's not just a positional truth that you're seated in heavenly places, because you're not seated here, you're walking. Do you follow that? There's a difference between what you are seated as a your nature. You're the righteousness of God. But he's not talking about who you are positionally. He's talking about who you are walking, who you're demonstrating, who you're bringing as demonstration. He says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Verse 13, all things become visible when they are exposed by what? The light. Everything that becomes visible is light. In other words, what's Jesus saying in John 16? He's saying, look, here's how the world is going to be convinced that there's a nature in them that's not right. Do what I do. Remember he told the disciples? They said, well, how do we pray? And so, you know, we turn that into a traditional prayer, and our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is telling you the principle that you govern, that this connected man lives by. Your kingdom, we sang about this morning, your kingdom come. It's not come until it's here. Our job is to bring things from the kingdom to here. And that process is what Jesus is speaking of in John 16, that is going to show natural man that you have a nature in you that's not right. Because you can't do that. You need a nature upgrade. You need to become a different model, because the old model has limits. The old model is obsolete. How many know I'd rather have a thermostat that's digital, I can program it to come on and go off, than to have one of them old things you gotta turn? Especially when you have kids. Man, it's hot in here. And then we just walk away in days. You come back 4 days later and it's been on 72 for a week. Don't like that model. It's too limited. Jesus is saying, look, this process is going to take place when we learn, understand, look, our job is to bring the light. Bring the life. That's why I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. That's why it's to your advantage that I go away, so that He can come. And He is the one who's going to reveal things. And when you give flesh to the things that are revealed, the process is going to happen, that the world will be convinced of the wrong nature. They'll be convinced of the nature of righteousness, and they're going to be convinced that the prince of this world has been judged. Because you're demonstrating it every day that you're breathing. Did you guys get anything out of this at all? Well, I did, so. Let's stand up. Go ahead and stand up. I believe it's in the desire of the Father for us to understand and come to the place where we understand when we talk about the kingdom, we're not talking about someplace that we're going. We talk about the kingdom with the understanding that the kingdom is in here. Because you became, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you declared Jesus as Lord, He literally placed you back at the right hand of Father where you were created to function. He put His Spirit in you. He gave you a new nature. And now if we learn to live by the new nature, we won't even give place to the demands of the natural man in your mind, your will, your emotions, because we're too busy loving Jesus and living out of our spirit in the Word, in the spontaneous Word as we live life out and around. And when we speak about the kingdom, we understand that the kingdom is something that I key in on every day that I'm out there. Because I want to allow the kingdom that Jesus established when He was raised. It's already a done deal. But I want to bring it from the unseen into the seen and let Father land on somebody. And have them have a revelation of the kingdom. I'm wrecked. I'll never go back to traditional reading that book ever again. Because Jesus is more than just, I want to just believe in Him. Every time I hear that now, I'm thinking, I feel like walking, I believe in You, Jesus. Way to go. How many know He wants a little more than that? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You and praise You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your indwelling presence. Thank You for the continuing revelation of Your kingdom, that Your kingdom is here. But we want to live and move and have our being in that kingdom to bring it here. And we thank You for loving us so much and giving us all that You are, giving us Your Spirit, giving us Your access to Your thought processes and how You see things, and just giving us a blank check to experience all that You really are. Father, I declare every person in this room I believe they have a heart for You. I believe they have a desire to step over into knowing You more than just a concept. That we want to actually live in the place where You flow with us and flow through us. And we make Your heart happy because we let You do what You want to do. And I believe that everybody in this room is that person. Holy Spirit, I just declare this. You have Your way with me. And have Your way with these people. And Father, just go ahead and say this. Father, I declare to You that You have full rights to Your Spirit that's in me. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Thank You, Jesus. Everybody agree with that prayer, said, Amen. Well, you are blessed, so just go enjoy it.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.